across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, the 19th day of March, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, through social media, by podcast, but especially by app, starting today. Here's why. I got a question for you. Could I interest you in winning some prizes? How about you, Greg Bach? Greg Bach, do you like prizes? Do you think people would be interested in prizes?
Two answers to that. I'm very interested in prizes, and I know our listeners are interested in prizes.
That's correct. Those are two correct answers. Greg, give yourself a ding, ding, ding for that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Civic Media is launching a brand new contest, and it's starting right here on Up North News Radio. Well, and the other stations across Civic Media.
No, just us. State,
but yeah, let's go ahead and feel special anyway.
Yeah.
It's quite simple, really, and it's going to start an hour from now. Did you know Civic Media has an app that you can get from the Apple or the Google store? Have I ever mentioned the app before? Maybe once, twice?
Pat, what's an app? Yeah, we're going to take this whole hour. Pat's going to tell Greg, that's me, what an app is.
Yes, it's a thing. It's a little doohickey that you put on that gizmo that you hold up to your ear. Here's the deal. Starting in our 7 o'clock hour, around 7:07 or so, and Brittany Merlot is here to give us the weather, I'm going to give you further instructions. I can't give it all away yet, but the Civic Media app is your key to get entered for daily prizes and a grand prize. And again, I'm not going to say much more because the contest doesn't officially start till 7 o'clock hour, but I would say during this hour, download the app because you can then listen to any Civic Media station on it. You can use the app to call into the show, text into the show, hint, hint, get routed to the main website to learn more about a station. You can even, Greg Bach, set a sleep timer via the app so that the smooth sounds of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba can lull you to slumber. So get the app.
That was like one of the greatest. Content. And I just want to say, for the people out there listening, the grand prize may or may not be my car. Just put it out there.
Again, it's grand prize. It's a grand prize.
Would 2010 Honda grand? Insight.
Oh, there it is. All right. So keep that in mind. It's a special day today, in part because it means nothing to anybody but me. Today is morning show number 300 for Up North News Radio.
So oh, look at that, buddy. Look at you being amazing.
This moment. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to wish us happy anniversary or happy 300 or whatever, you can call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on the face page, you can just put a comment down below there and tell us what's on your mind, and we may put that up on air. All right, let's tell you what else is coming up here. It's Tuesday, so it's kind of an Up North News theme on Tuesdays where two of my colleagues join us, Sharita Booker in a few minutes and Christina Laurie, who tells us stories in the newsletter. Among the things that they'll be talking about, Greg, did you have a Blockbuster video membership card back in the day? Or are you too young for that?
Pat, I didn't only have a membership card. I was an employee.
You were an employee.
I worked at Blockbuster Video.
Of course you did. Yes, I can see it now, and and giving those kids a look like, you know, are you really old enough to rent that movie? Well, I'll let it slide this time. So anyway, there is still at least one place in Wisconsin where you can still rent movies on VHS. So we'll hear about that. We'll review some of the other popular stories of the week, including all kinds of reaction to last week's report about Aaron Rodgers being considered as a running mate for fellow conspiracy theorist Robert Kennedy Jr. And that's dead now, right? But, you know, there was obviously a lot of reaction to it when it was in the news originally. So in our second hour, Rosenberg, Watt, Walks, and Holmes. That's not a new law firm, but they sure make for a great hour of conversation. We're going to talk to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. We'll talk to Chad Holmes of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And we will catch up with former State Assembly Rep and former UW Regent Dana Walks, who became collateral damage when Republican legislators started firing appointees of Governor Tony Evers en masse for reasons that remain a mystery, unless childishness, you know, is the reason and says it all. If that's the case, then I guess that's the word that describes it. So temperatures are a little warmer out there, though still, shall we say, on the winter side of things. It's 32 here on Lake Wissota, 33 in Hayward. Park Falls in at 29, Wausau 31, Green Bay 33. La Crosse is reporting 32 degrees, Wisconsin Rapids 30. Oshkosh 32, Madison 30, and in Waukesha, it is 27 degrees on what is, I don't want to give away everything in today's history lesson, but what is National Agriculture Day, which, of course, Greg sent me down the rabbit hole because I'm like, wait, this is National Agriculture Day? I thought we did something in the fall about that. I mean, we played the whole Paul Harvey, God Made a Farmer thing and all of that. It turns out that this is National Agriculture Day. That thing in October was National Farmers Day.
Oh.
So this is where everybody else gets in on the racket. You know, farmers got their own special day, but now it's about everybody that's involved in the role of agriculture, not just the growing, but the processing, the trucking, the packaging, the you name it. It's all part of agriculture's role in a modern society. So role that you played, mine was eating what they made, you know, happy Agriculture Day.
And once we talk about it, you'll know the rest of the story.
Thank you, Paul Harvey. Yes. there is a theme this year. Jenny Battig of the Agriculture Council of America says the theme is Growing a Climate for Tomorrow. And it's all about farmers leading the charge when it comes to sustainability. And, of course, that fits right in with the climate and being good stewards of the land and of the air. And, you know, the same goes not just for farmers, but for everybody involved in the food chain, is to make things as sustainable as possible and don't contribute to the problems of a changing climate. So for anybody that is part of the agriculture chain out there, a happy National Agriculture Day. We see you, we recognize you, and we are really, really, really thankful for you, because if I had to grow my own stuff, this would be one very, very scrawny boy talking to you on the radio right now. Looking at news that we can unpack here at just about 6:14 or so, Marquette University is planning to make some big cuts. And I bring that up because yesterday and Friday, we talked about Northland College up in Ashland and other small schools that are facing fiscal issues. Well, it's at the big boys are going through this as well. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article from Mary Spacuzza and Rory Linane notes that Marquette is planning $31 million in cuts over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of their operating budget, and that means the university will have to consider all of its program offerings, its physical structure, its organizational structure. This comes, you know, right on the heels of Northland College saying they need to raise $12 million in less than a month, or they may have to close the college up there. Others have already decided to close, like Cardinal Stritch, UW-Platteville, Richland Center, UW-Milwaukee at Washington County, UW-Oshkosh at Fond du Lac, UW-Green Bay at Marinette, and the most recent one, UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. There's some other campuses, including private schools like St. Norbert and public universities like UW-Oshkosh, that are announcing that they've had to cut anywhere from dozens to hundreds of employees. And so this is not just a small school thing. And as we've talked about on the program previously, there are many reasons for it. One of the significant demographic ones is simply the demographic cliff that's out there of the what's the opposite of the baby boom? The baby bust. So few people were growing their families during the Great Recession in 2007, 2008, 2009. And that lull in the population growth is about to hit all of our colleges and universities at a time when expenses, you know, surely aren't going down. So there are things that could be done along the way. We've certainly spoken at length about how at the state government level, not just in Wisconsin, but everywhere, state governments have made it increasingly more expensive to go to schools. And just last night, I got around to watching this past week's John Oliver Last Week Tonight on HBO Max, and it was all about the student loan system. And I've been following the student loan issue for well over a decade now, and yet, even knowing what I know about it, I am still just stunned that over the past 30 years or so, we have allowed a higher education to become this unapproachable for families of modest means, this expensive. We were once a very generous country when it came to higher education financial aid through Pell Grants and anything to make sure that our country could have a competitive edge by growing the number of people who went to colleges and universities. It feels like we've spent the last 20 to 30 years trashing the notion of going to colleges or universities. And again, I think the pendulum has swung too far. Do I feel like once upon a time there was not enough love and respect given to the trades and to technical schools? Yes, absolutely. But now I feel like we're overcompensating, having made a higher education in colleges and universities, just something that families can't reach without taking on tens of thousands of dollars in debt that is then given to private companies, and you're hardly paying anything on the principal. For 10 or 20 years, you're paying nothing but interest. Is that really what we as a country want our higher education system to be about? It seems like we need to find a new respect for higher education, and frankly, for education overall. I mean, when you talk about college education, John Oliver was running clip after clip of Republicans who were, you know, trashing the whole notion of, you know, well, these are all just history degrees and art degrees and, you know, completely missing the point of what a liberal arts education can do to create tomorrow's creators, thinkers, leaders, things like that. You know, we need a wide range perspective on supporting education from K-12, pre-K-12 on up. But to do that, we're apparently going to need a new crop of leaders to replace the ones that have been trashing education and making it unaffordable or inaccessible for far too long. We'll do a little bit more unpacking of the news here in a bit, including telling you about a new attorney hired by the National Republican Party and the impact she might have on certifying the votes in Wisconsin later this year. Wherever you're listening, across Wisconsin, on this Tuesday morning when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. And now it's time for us to visit with Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. If you haven't found us on social media yet, head over to your favorite platform and look for Up North News. You might have to search Up North News WI just to make sure you get the right one based right here in Wisconsin. Sherita, how are you doing over there?
Pat, how are you?
Good, good. Now, the president was in town not long ago. I don't suppose you got a chance to, you know, you didn't bump into him at a coffee shop or get any exclusive interview that you want to tell us about?
Fortunately not. I was curious at where what hotel he chose to stay at, though.
Oh, you knew it was going to be the Pfister, which, I mean, that's that place is equipped for it. It's nice. I stayed there one time, and it's very presidential, shall we say. It's old school, and it's a place where, in some parallel universe, someplace, Robert Kennedy Jr. thinks he's going to stay there someday as president, and maybe. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is vice president. I don't know. Maybe this whole thing has already blown over and we're just reacting to it. But people did react when you put up the post about, you know, what conceivably could happen with these two guys.
Yeah. So the New York Times reported that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently asked Aaron Rodgers, yes, the former Packer, to serve as his running mate on an independent presidential ticket. He's also considering other potential candidates. So his official pick will be announced on March 26th. That post had more than 300 likes and 100 comments. Thorn Apple Quilting said, utterly laughable. I guess learning a playbook is enough credentials to be a vice president now. And Michael Kennedy needs an intervention.
Yeah, it's maybe another one wouldn't hurt. So yeah, we're gonna leave it at that till the big announcement, whatever it is. And you know, last week Kiev Akil told us, you know, that despite a lot of us being, shall we say, skeptical or just, you know, laughing, engaging in mockery about this, he could be spoiler enough to take votes away from Biden or Trump. So we will just have to see how that develops. Now, this next story pains me because you just got done saying former Packer Aaron Rodgers, and we have to now say former Packer Jonathan Owens and former Packers number one fan Simone Biles. I don't like this. I don't like it at all, Sherita.
So Jonathan Owens is signing with the Chicago Bears. Yes, no. Right. meaning, yes, Simone Biles will no longer be part of our Packer Nation. She posted a goodbye to Packers fans saying, "Just wanted to say thank you for embracing my husband and I. Green Bay will always be a special place in our hearts." And this post got so much love. It had over 5,000 likes and more than 200 comments. Susan said, "And you both hold a special place in ours." And Gene said, "Thank you, Jonathan and Simone. You were the celebrity in the stands when we played Kansas City, not Taylor Swift. Good luck to Jonathan in Chicago and you in Paris this summer."
Aw. That's so nice. I mean, look, and that's all they did. All they did was be nice. You know, at no point did she put on some kind of an attitude like, "I'm above this. I can't wait to get to a bigger city." She right away, yeah. They were gracious. And yeah, they're going to the Bears. We hate the Bears, but you can't hate them because they handled everything in such a nice, classy manner. Yeah. So, and now having said all that, I hope that Jonathan Owens goes on to drop every potential interception that he might get for the rest of the year. And, you know, that's what you get when you leave our team. Last but not least, we got to go with some food. And of course you got to go with, in Wisconsin, you go with cheese, which was in the news yet again, Sherita.
Yep. Wisconsin cheesemakers won 117 awards in the 2024 World Champion Cheese Contest. The competition scored more than 3,000 submissions of cheese, yogurt, butter, and other dairy products. And making it to the world's top 20 cheeses was Henning's Cheese and Kiel for their traditional wax cheddar, and Schumann Cheese and Turtle Lake for their cello copper kettle parmesan. So congratulations to them. That post had almost 2,000 likes, and people in the comments were sharing their congratulations, and people are proud to be cheeseheads here. So we love our cheese.
Oh, absolutely. That's a new one for me, a copper kettle parmesan cheese. I'm intrigued. You know, I'd give that a go. You were saying you're more of a cheddar girl yourself?
Cheddar and Gouda. Those are my two favorites. What's yours?
Yeah, in both cases, aged cheddar and an aged Gouda, if you're just having cheese for the sake of cheese, but really, if you're doing it in any of your cooking, you know, just give me a pile of shredded cheddar and I will put that on an old shoe and have that for breakfast, because that's just how we roll up here in America's Dairyland. So we've got all of that and more at Up North News WI through social media on all the major platforms. Sherita Booker takes care of that for us. Sherita, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat.
All right. At just about 6:26 now, a reminder, we've got a brand new contest coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. You enter the contest through the Civic Media app. So for the next 40 minutes or so, go on to Apple or wherever you get your apps and get the Civic Media app downloaded, and we'll tell you much more about it coming up just after the top of the 7 o'clock hour. The Republican National Committee has hired a new attorney to work on its legal unit that's focused on elections. But Christina Bob, this new attorney, spent a lot of the post-2020 election claiming that Wisconsin's 2020 election was fraudulent, and she was publicly pressuring state Republican leaders to act on some baseless conspiracy theories. That's the reporting from Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Christina Bob was a former reporter for the far-right One America News Network, but has now been hired by RNC officials And that's all part of that recent purge by the Trump campaign, as they got rid of anybody who might even give an indication that they're not fully on board with Trump, and basically turned the National Republican Party into the party of Trump and the party of Trump alone. Well, the hiring of Christina Bob raises questions about how Trump and National Republicans are going to respond to the outcome of this year's election in Wisconsin if Biden wins again, if President Biden were again to win a narrow victory as he did 4 years ago. In the aftermath, not only the aftermath of the 2020 election, but in 2021 and all the way through 2023, Christina Bob was very busy on social media, mostly picking fights with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the most powerful Republican in the state, who nobody is going to mistake for some kind of a rhino. And yet Christina Bob would be on Twitter saying things like, you know, the Wisconsin Elections Commission intentionally orchestrated a criminal and fraudulent election. The Wisconsin Elections Commission needs to be dissolved immediately. She accused Voss of either being corrupt or an idiot for backing a bill that would allow election clerks to begin processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day in order to prevent the posting of voting totals late at night. And, as recently as about a year ago, she referred to Robin Voss as, quote, an impish little coward for not doing more to litigate the 2020 election. So she was a far-right news reporter, lawyer, who has been badgering other Republicans for the past 3+ years to continue to try to drag out the results of the 2020 election through the courts. And now she's been hired by the Trump campaign to run the Republican National Committee's legal unit that's focused on elections. There is no other way to look at that except to say that the Trump team is again going to try to badger, bully, or otherwise steal in a way to undermine the election results here in Wisconsin. So keep an eye on all that they're doing, including who they're hiring. Christina Lorre is coming up next. You're up north. And now it's time for us to visit with Welcome back. It's time for The Uplift here on Up North News Radio, where we talk to Christina Lorre, who puts together our daily newsletter. Sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Pretty good, thanks. I mean, we talk a lot about technology, and sometimes technology is getting ahead of us. Some people's, like my iPhone, oh my gosh, is almost like 4 years old. It's practically outdated. So it's almost refreshing or quaint to hear that not everybody is rushing to the latest and greatest technology. And I'm thinking specifically of a pile of VHS tapes in my basement that I'm never going to watch again. But apparently other people, they're still good with the old ways, I guess is how we'd put it, Christina.
Yeah, you should look to see if there's any place that's, you know, buying them back by you, because here in Madison, where I live, there's a shop on State Street that is still going strong. It's called Four Star Video Rental, and DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K UHD discs, and VHS tapes are still drawing in customers. And what's really interesting is that they're not people from your generation or even my generation who grew up, you know, with these kind of physical media. They're younger people who want, I guess, a taste of what we lived through. So this is a trend that's across the country. DVD and VHS sales are up, especially in rentals. You can rent discs for $4.49 a piece, and you can also get a membership, so you can rent an unlimited number of movies every month. So it's like your physical Netflix.
A membership. I remember my Blockbuster card. I'm sure the Blockbuster card is still floating around someplace. And of course, now we talk about Amazon Prime all the time. But again, I was one of those original folks where Amazon would, or through Netflix, they'd send DVDs to you. I think that part of it is just that tangible, physical thing. Right now, so much of what we own media-wise is electronic. And once it's gone, it's gone. And I think there's people that actually want that, something they can put in their hands and say, no, I bought this. This is mine. Nothing can take it away.
I think you're totally right. And it's also that exclusivity. People always want, you know, it feels like a greater reward if you had to wait for it. So, you know, the Oscars just aired. A lot of those films will be making their way to the store, and there's going to be a wait list for some of them. So if you were dying to see Oppenheimer, but you had to wait 4 extra weeks to get your hands on that VHS tape, you're probably going to enjoy that experience a little bit more if you're into that kind of stuff.
I noticed you did not say Laserdisc. And you did not say beta. I'm betting even that's a bridge too far for this little video store on State Street. Some things actually do that. Nobody's come out with anything new on A-Track for a while here. And
no, but I was going to say, my parents, they still have their VHS player. I don't have one in my own house. But there still works. And we're discussing, what are we going to do when that no longer works? Because that's the only way that we can play all of our classic Disney films. Like, of course you could watch them on Disney Plus, and while I have a membership to that, I have to let you know I've never watched Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast or the Little Mermaid on there. It feels sacrilegious. You want to put in the VHS tape and you want to sit through those ads at the beginning where it tells you that Animal Kingdom is coming soon to Orlando. Soon,
right? Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And 25 years ago.
Yes. But oh, that would be something to look back. Although we with our two daughters, we wore some of those tapes out. Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
The real game changer was when they came out with that 60-second rewinder, and you no longer had to wait several minutes to rewind to the tape. That was always an argument between my brother and me, because I was the follow the rule child. So of course I knew the family rule. If you watch something, you need to rewind it to the beginning. And then you could always tell when my brother jumped in and watched something, because nothing was ever rewound.
It's so funny that we think the thing that we thought were advancements back then, you know, CDs, they're the next big thing. They're gone. VHS rewinders. No, they're gone too.
Wouldn't you love to watch your grandkids wait for 60 full seconds for something to rewind? Like, do kids really even have that attention span nowadays?
No, they do not. This is Women's History Month, and there's no shortage of cool women with Wisconsin ties. So how did you even approach Women's History Month to write about it in our newsletter?
So all month long, subscribers will know we've been featuring some star standout women from Wisconsin. And actually, the issue that I had writing this is whittling down the list, because there are so many to choose from. But here are a few that I didn't know had Wisconsin ties. Okay. Their names, big and small, that you might find interesting, Pat. So this woman named Deborah Amesqua, she was the first female chief of the Madison Fire Department and one of the first women fire chiefs in the country. So that's an awesome first, another way that, you know, we're a leader nationwide. Mm-hmm. Angie Brooks was the first African woman to serve as president of the UN General Assembly. Her Wisconsin tie is that she graduated with both a law degree and a master's in political science from the UW-Madison. And then Joyce Carlson, speaking of Disney, was a Disney artist best known for her work on the film Lady and the Tramp. And she also worked on the It's a Small World ride at Disney World. She was born in Racine. So,
which, by the way, we won't hold against her. That you know, it had a very lofty goal at the time, bring the world together. And now it's just that ride that you can't wait till it's finished. But we appreciate it.
That's a very controversial opinion.
You think so?
I do. That's one of my favorite rides. So much nostalgia. I love when they go and sing it in all the different languages. I thought you were going to say she had a lofty goal, and looking at the world now, we're pretty far away from that goal.
I think more people just need to get on that ride and check the attitude before they go to it. That's right. World peace. All right. When you can't talk about women and Wisconsin without the original hero from, now I forgot, and I'll get mixed up. Was it Willow or Willows, Wisconsin?
Willow,
Wisconsin. That, of course, would be Barbie.
Yes, that is Barbie. She was born on March 9th. So this month, she turned 65. A few fun facts about her: that the town of Willows, her toy manufacturer Mattel says that she's from Willows, Wisconsin. That's not a real place, but folks at the Milwaukee Record took a deep dive into that fictional town and found out that Willows is likely a small-ish city. They compared it to Burlington without the underlying racism, or Lake Geneva without the chain restaurants.
I mentioned that a couple of weeks back too, with the comments about Burlington and Lake Geneva, and what, you know, the switchboards didn't light up like crazy. So a lot of people just looked at that and went, checks out. Okay. So
go ahead. I know they're like, you want to argue with it, but they're not wrong. Mm-hmm. And Mattel even once made a Willows, Wisconsin series Barbie, which pays homage to the doll's rural roots with a picnic outfit. She's wearing a cherry blouse and blue jeans. It seems very much made by someone who probably has never visited Wisconsin and just assumes that's what every Wisconsin woman looks like. It's kind of funny. They're actually selling for a lot on eBay right now. So the Barbies, you have to have it in the original box to really make more bang for your buck with that. But it's a fun Wisconsin connection to Barbie. It turns out we're really connected to a lot of dolls here between that and American Girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now we're going back well over a week, almost 2 weeks here. So I don't know how much of the Oscars you sat through, and did you see Ryan Gosling do the "I'm Just Ken" song for a global audience?
Did I see it? How many times have I watched it? And I continue watching it, and it continues to pop up my TikTok For You page. I just think it was so great. It's kind of, it really ties into a lot of the serious work that we're trying to do here at Up North News, right? Where we're speaking in Women's History Month. There are so many different disparities and ways that we're going back in time for women's rights. And then Ryan Gosling, just being the champion for us all, he really made up for the fact that none of the women actresses or directors were nominated for that film. I love how he started behind Margot Robbie, really gave her due. And then, of course, Oscar winner Emma Stone, his former La La Land co-star too, was belting out the song and getting into it. That was just so fun. And the parallels to, you know, Marilyn Monroe's performance. I was trying to think of, you know, when they were all, she was wearing pink and all the dancers behind her were in black and white. I think that's what it was modeled after.
Oh, okay. I never thought of it that
way. Yeah, I think like, what's the name of the film? Something with Gentlemen. This is
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Okay. Gentlemen, yeah. So it's like a big, like, show stopping number. I think that was the parallel to it.
Oh, yeah, but I never connected that dot. That's cool.
It was a lot deeper than it initially came across. Like, it's such a silly song. Mm-hmm. I'm just Ken. Anywhere else, I'd be a 10.
but again, like the movie itself, there is the thing about the writing is that there's so much more depth, and you appreciate it in pretty short order that this is more than just, you know, some campy movie, more than some campy song. And it all started with a Barbie doll from a fictional Wisconsin town. So these stories and more are in our daily newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, where are we at? 6:45 right now. And I did not have much to say in the last half hour about getting, Tuesdays are always kind of slow for sports unless the Bucks are playing. So let's just give you a quick refresher on what's coming up for this weekend in the NCAA tourneys and then some. We'll start with the Milwaukee Bucks. They next play in Boston tomorrow night, and then they are at home against the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday. But to the NCAAs, the Wisconsin Badgers are a 5 seed. They will play 12 seed James Madison at 8:40 Friday night in Brooklyn. And then the winner will play either Duke or Vermont. The Marquette Golden Eagles are a 2 seed, and they'll play 15 seed Western Kentucky. And that game is early Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock on Friday in Indianapolis. And the winner there will play the winner of the 7-10 game, number 7 Florida versus, well, the number 10 team, we don't know, because Boise State and Colorado still have to do the play-in game before that all gets going. However, that Badger game on Friday night will be here across some Civic Media radio stations. including locally grown radio, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine. We still have a few more days to wait till we find out where the Badger men's hockey team will go for the NCAA tournament there, but the women's NCAA tournament is underway. The Badger women are in the Final Four, or the Frozen Four, I should say, which is being hosted by the University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire. And so on Friday evening, the Badger women will play Colgate in one national semifinal game. And then if the Badgers win, they'll play for the national title against the winner of the other semifinal game, which is Ohio State and Clarkson. And then that game would be on Sunday afternoon, I believe. We're sitting here at just how many more days? Today's the 19th. 9 days until opening day. A week from Thursday, the Milwaukee Brewers open up the season. That'll be next week, Thursday, against the New York Mets. And then the home opener is the following Tuesday on April 2nd. That will be a home opener versus the Twins. But spring training baseball is still going on. And folks listening to WRCE News from the Center, your next Brewers spring training game will be coming up this Friday afternoon. So, you know, knock off work a couple hours early. The broadcast starts at 3 o'clock. And, you know, just get yourself ready to hear a little Brewers baseball taking on the Kansas City Royals. Now, the weather forecast says there might be snow, so you probably can't sit out on your lawn chair or in your hammock and listen to a Brewers game on the radio the way that you could, you know, later on in the season. But, you know, take the advantage of a little time and listen to some spring training baseball. I think that's the way to go. Greg, you had a question about James Madison, the Badgers opponent, coming up on Friday night here.
Oh, no, I was just making a smart aleck comment about James Madison and Abraham Lee. It was an inside joke. I'm sorry I put it in the chat.
No, that's okay. I just thought, James Madison, what did he do? But that just takes us down a whole different rabbit hole with the founding fathers. Maybe he and Abraham Lincoln signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, they did.
That Ohio Senate candidate said before.
With Elon Musk. The weekend. He was there too.
Oh, this is going to be a long campaign, folks. It just is. All right, today's history lesson and musical memories are coming up in just a bit, along with a reminder that we have a brand new contest coming up. You're going to need the Civic Media app downloaded to be a part of it. We'll tell you about it right after the top of the next hour. And that next hour includes Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg, former UW Regent Dana Walks, Brittany Merlot, Chad Holmes, and more. You're up north. All right, everybody, it's a 3-for-1 drink specials at the Trader and Trapper right off the UW Eau Claire campus. Get out there and do your groove thing until bar time. To the Pointer Sisters. Such was my life in 1984. Ruth Pointer is 78 years old today. She's the eldest and the only surviving Pointer sister with one of their many pop hits in the mid-1980s.
I love the Pointer Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you like,
No, I was trying to say Pink Cadillac. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. They did a remake of Pink Cadillac that I really like.
Yeah.
Nothing against Bruce Springsteen or anybody else who's done a version, but I do like the Pointer Sisters version. Was it now I'm second guessing myself. Was it the Pointer Sisters or was
I
it
think
Natalie
that was
Cole?
Wasn't that Aretha Franklin?
I love when we No, she did Who's Zoomin' Who. I love when we play Stump the Band with ourselves.
Natalie Cole.
Now here it is, Pat and Greg in the nursing home later on saying, no, I think it was the Pointer Sisters.
Pat, I told you 1,000 times it was the daughter of the King Cole.
Throwing our pudding at each other. So Ruth Pointer is 78 today. Actress Glenn Close is 77. And I still can't think of Glenn Close without thinking of that movie where that poor pet bunny.
I won't be ignored, Dan.
Oh, boy. That was a brutal movie. The U.S. Congress established time zones and approved daylight savings time on this day in 1918.
Thanks.
Here's another... Hey, that brought order and uniformity to our clocks. Before, the clocks, the times were set higgledy-piggledy by all the railroad companies.
You did that so on purpose. I saw you take a moment. You're like, which one am I whipping out? Higgledy-piggledy.
Higgledy-piggledy.
Which is actually, it is the closest known competitor of Piggly Wiggly.
Well, I'm just saying that when the railroads were the only ones setting the times, it was the most cockamamie system of time zones and time management.
Now you're just abusing it.
Oh, sorry. Happy 69th birthday to actor Bruce Willis.
Nice.
We played the theme from Moonlighting, I think, back on Friday for Al Jarreau, the anniversary of his birth. But we don't have to play that because Bruce Willis actually did cut an album or two.
He did.
And this song was on the charts for a hot hour and a half. This was him with June Pointer of the Pointer Sisters and a little song called Respect Yourself.
Pat, tell him the name of the record.
I don't have it in front of me.
You don't remember the... It was The Return of Bruno.
The Return of Bruno. Yes, I knew there was a Bruno in there, but I'm so used to we don't talk about Bruno.
For context, for the people who don't know, Bruce Springsteen in the 80s was the hottest person, like movies, TV show, and he made a record called The Return of Bruno, and that's when we all said, one, who's Bruno? Two, where did he go? And three, why is he back?
We never knew.
Yeah.
And Bruno didn't show up until decades later in that Disney cartoon movie. On this day in 1974, Jefferson Airplane reformed with most of the original members. They dropped the Jefferson Airplane name and renamed themselves Jefferson Starship. They kicked off a tour at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. They would later simply become Starship. But as Jefferson Starship, they got together on this day in 1974 and cut an album shortly afterwards with a couple of big hits, including this one. On this day in 1831, the first documented bank heist in U.S. history, when burglars stole $245,000 from Citibank. Yes, the company that later became Citibank with an I instead of a Y, on Wall Street. Most of the money was recovered, but yeah, apparently the amount of money taken in the heist in 1831 value was $245,000. So crime did pay for at least an hour or so before they had to get rid of the money.
That would be almost $8.8 million today.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds like quite a high. Okay, so the first heist on this day, but like I said, most of the money was recovered, so I guess what good did it do them? If you're wondering why we had played the Doobie Brothers a little earlier in the hour, here's why.
Because we want to. On this day
in 1976, well, yeah, we always want to. On this day in 1976, the Doobie Brothers released their first album with Michael McDonald, and here was the title track from said album. Michael McDonald was brought into the group just to play keyboards, but it was with this title track that the rest of the band looked and watched how the songs were performing and went, okay, it's you. You're a new lead singer.
Do you know what band he came from?
No. I just know he sang background on about 6,000 records, but I don't know which band he was in.
Steely Dan.
Well, I thought he helped Steely Dan and he helped some other bands, but I didn't think of him as part of the band, I guess. But yeah, he's everywhere.
I know.
He's still everywhere.
So awesome. I love Michael McDonald.
He was going through, of course, as I'm mindlessly scrolling through TikTok, there he is talking about one particular song, which it's Minute by Minute, which has a very interesting keyboard solo at the very beginning. And he's just explaining how, oh, it's really not that tough. And his fingers are just going all over the place on the keyboard. And the man is now yacht rock legend. He's on the Mount Rushmore of light rock.
Oh, God, I would say so, yes.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, this is the day in 1979 that we first got to watch Congress on TV. This is when C-SPAN began broadcasting on this day, 1979. We already mentioned that this is National Agriculture Day. It is also Red Nose Day, which I'm going to defer to the man who runs a stand-up comedy club. But Red Nose Day is something like a British origin, just a kind of a day to make people laugh. So I don't know that it's really caught on here in the U.S. yet. It is National Poultry Day, Certified Nurses Day, International Read to Me Day, 3D Technology Day, Backyard Day, Chocolate Caramel Day. I can always get behind that. It's World Social Work Day. And finally, it is Stretch Mark Day, which I'm pretty sure is about new moms and body positivity, although it could actually apply to, you know, the feeling a day or two after Thanksgiving dinner for all the rest of us. In our next hour, we'll talk to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. We'll talk to former UW Regent Dana Walks, and we'll get the forecast from Brittany Berlow and a brand new contest coming up next here up north.